Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Kickback Pod. I am your host, Gavin Tony, doing alongside my brother and co-host Dom. Dom, what's up, man? How you doing?
Oh man, I'm excited for today.
Same here, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us now, no, it's not Pat. Pat is on his way. It's a scheduling conflict. That's what we'll call it, a scheduling conflict. But he will be here. He sends his best to everybody on the pod. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. I call reinforcements. In November, Dom, you got to meet one of my good friends. And he loves sports just as much as we all do. And I said, you know what? We need some help with Pat not being able to make it as much. We could use a third person to swing conversation. So when Pat gets here, it'll be a four-way conversation. So with that being said, James, welcome to the pod, brother. How are you doing? We are happy to have you.
What's up, my friends, my boys? Oh, man, it's been a long time coming, gentlemen. Back in November, we had some fantastic talks, and
yes, it's almost
6 months. I'm basically 6 months later, actually seven. Actually, yeah, 7 months later. So I'm happy to be back. You know, we're doing this thing. We're gonna have a lot of fun. I'm super excited. Yeah, man. Let's have some fun, boys.
I'm glad to have this guy. No, listen. Hold on. Real quick.
Go ahead, Dom.
Real quick. James, I'm not BSing because we're on air. I told Gavin. I said, Gavin, out of all the people that I have been that I've been with you on air with, I'm not counting Pat because Pat's in the program. So I'm counting people that like Gavin's brought on like me as a guest and such. James knows his stuff, and James has talent. I am excited for this guy to be here, man. I am excited for today.
And you know, James, he doesn't say this a lot.
And I really don't. That's true.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what, though. You know, I do have background since I went to West Virginia University during my first stint at college,
and
I formerly was a journalism major before I switched to business. So, you know, go Mountaineers. So I do have a little bit of background in this, but, you know, it's good because, you know, being a business major, I don't do this a whole lot. I mean, I have my own podcast that I had a few years ago, but to be with you guys and actually get back into it, I'm super excited to be here. Happy that, you know, Gavin invited me on. And Dom, man, it's always great to see you, and I appreciate the compliments.
Nah, man, it's great to see you, man. It's great to see you. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, it's like the city of brotherly love over here, man.
It really is. It really is.
And for I could break this news here because, you know, it's my news. For those who will keep asking me, what's happened to the radio show? What's happened to the radio show? I call reinforcements. James will be here. Me and him are going to do it. We're going to do it. Y'all want the kickback? I'm going to bring it to you. It's coming back next year. And now it is.
Kick Guess back, what? Relax, and enjoy the dang show.
What he said. But James, you can say damn on here. You can enjoy the damn show.
Smith.
But also, too, the cool part about James doing this, right, is when he gets to the radio, hopefully I can get 2 hours, bosses, please. We're going to try to bring the video. We're going to try to do it live. We're going to make it like McAfee in a way. We're going to talk about it. We're still months out ahead of that. But James, we're happy to have you here. We can't wait for Pat to be here so we can have the whole group here. But without further ado, let's talk about some sports. For those who ask about the boys in the pinstripes, you know, in the Citizens Bank Park where they've been at, well, guys, why the hell would I talk about a subpar team when they haven't done that when the finals is going on? I'm a basketball guy. But let's talk about the Phillies. In the last 10 games, fellas, are 2-8, coming with also a sweep from the Pirates, by the way. Why would you guys take out Paul Skenes when he wasn't struggling? I'm not even a Pirates fan. I just like Paul Skenes. And I hated that move for Paul Skenes, so free him. But the Phillies are 2-8 in the last 10. Bryce Harper is out of the lineup. He was last night. Now, Dom, me and you got a chance to watch the game for a brief period of time on top of the rooftop. It's pretty cool to do that, too, by the way. It's pretty cool. James, this is rooftop in the city. Go ahead, Dom, since I always get the name wrong.
All right. So, real quick, I gotta explain the context behind this. So, it's the rooftop at the Cira Center called the Cira Green, Gavin was telling me about it for like a year or two, and he was calling it the Sierra Green. And I'm like, I think I know what it is, but I don't know. Then when we got there, I'm like, oh, this is the Sierra Green. And Gavin's like, it's Sierra. And I'm like, no. My dad used to work at the Sierra Center. So it's the Sierra Green. But yeah, highly recommend. Maybe we'll do a show from there someday.
Dude, they got
you. That'd be cool.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a show from there someday because it is a nice place. You get it's right in Center City at the Sierra Center, and they have a big screen TV. That's literally like it's on the building. So it's actually funny because I don't know if you could tell, Gav, but from where we were sitting, like the screen reflected perfectly on the guard. Yeah, no, like onto the guard wall that's like the mirrors or like the window of the glass. Oh my goodness. So like I didn't have to like turn my head to watch the game. I have the skyline right in front of my peripherals and like the games reflected on it. It was pretty cool.
And the cool part is, James, if you looked about to your east, you could see the Phillies go to war at Citizens Bank Park. But James, let's talk about it. Enough about the Sierra Center, Sierra Green, tomatoes, tomatoes, don't matter, dime, how you call it. We sat on top of the rooftop and saw the game. But the Phillies are 2-8 in the last 10 games. Now, for those who don't know, they're still 10 games above 500. So we can Phillies fans, let's just relax a little bit, right? It's not, the world's not ending. And it's not even July yet. So we're still okay. But this team does not look great. The bats have gone. Go ahead, James.
Number of games thus far this season. I think it's been five of them, and to me, it looks like even from the jump, they just didn't look like they were coherent. They didn't look there at all. You know, years we see them. I mean, I know every team goes through a slump, right? And it's early, right? Actually, we're more so getting towards the middle of the season, towards the All-Star break coming here next month. So they really do got to get it together, but we have seen in past seasons that this team has gotten it together in the second half of the season after a slow start in the first. So if I'm being honest, Phillies fans, I wouldn't hit the emergency button, right? I wouldn't put in the white flag. Like, it's a long 100 season, and, you know, they're not even at the half yet. So there's a lot of baseball to be played, and, you know, they're getting all the, I guess you could say, all the kinks, whatever you want to say, you know, out. And I think, you know, come that second half of the season, they're going to be firing on all cylinders. They just got to get a little. But with those games that I went to personally, I mean, they didn't look good. They looked sloppy. You know, they didn't look like they wanted to be there. And I'm like, you know, it's hard for getting hurt after getting hit by a pitch. You know, that took a little bit of momentum away from him for sure, since he's been in and out of the lineup, probably due to that. I don't think there's anything to be worried about. I just think they're getting all those knots out, and they'll be just fine. So
I do want to say, if you don't mind, Don, before you jump in, the one thing that kills me about this team, they're not playing bad baseball. See, and this is why I hate the fan base. We crucified them for not playing, for being home run or nothing hitters. So then, okay, you start playing small ball. I mean, home runs are down. They only hit 68 total as a team. And now fans are upset because they're not hitting home runs. The total team average this year is 253. That's not bad. That's not terrible considering
they're still top 10 in the majors.
Considering you have in and out in the lineups. But here's what I will say. I wouldn't go up the notion of saying that this is a season like what James pointed to, is we're getting close to All-Star break. We have time, like it's not done yet. Here's the issue I have with this team. That's not enough to get – it's not going to go nowhere with it. And you religiously have said that – I don't want to take the words for you. Go ahead. You can say it. But Dave Dombrowski doesn't make moves, right, Dom? Like, he doesn't make moves.
Yeah, so it's funny. I'm glad both of you guys went first because it's kind of – I guess I'm kind of the happy medium between both of you here because I agree with a lot of what both of you guys are saying. To James's point, I don't think it's necessarily time to hit the panic button yet. And part of that is because, I think this was kind of par for the course. in terms of expectations. You know, listen, Gav, I said it to you last night. You know, a lot of people are you know, up in arms about Dave Dombrowski right now. Some people are up in arms about Rob Thompson. I think if there's anybody to kind of look at right now, aside from the players who I think, you know, for this last stretch should be blamed most, I think you have to look at John Middleton and the business model of this organization. Yes, they've spent a lot over the last couple of years, but compared to where that's relative to everybody else in Major League Baseball, you know, it's not the Dodgers, it's not the Mets, it's not the Yankees. Yeah, they still have a high payroll, but they're kind of falling behind in that regard. So, you know, I think, you know, you have to look at John Middleton. However, I don't think it's time to hit the panic button yet. Yes, they're still top 10 in the majors in batting average. They're ninth, I believe, at .253. They're seventh in on base percentage at .328. So the adjustments that they made early on in the year were working. However, it just hasn't translated to what a lot of – to you know, the production that some thought it would be, where look, they're 17th in barrel rate, they're 12th in hard hit percentage, and they're still not top 10 in weighted runs created plus. So yeah, there's some kinks offensively that need to be worked out right now. Yes, Bryce Harper's out, but the hitters you once relied on aren't stepping up, and that's going to be magnified even more when a guy like Bryce isn't out. You know, up until a week ago, we were all talking about Kyle Schwarber being a National League MVP candidate, which he still very well could be and should be. But yeah, Alec Bohm, JT Realmuto, and Trey Turner and Bryson Stott, they haven't been their production's been down collectively. Their weighted on base average individually is a strong indicator of that poor production. They all still struggle to find barrels. Like I said, 17th in barrel rate. And as a team, you know, and this is where I do look at the fan base and say, well, what did you expect differently? This team still struggles to hit off-speed pitches and breaking balls. They're 25th in slugging percentage against non-fastballs. So yeah, to some degree they haven't adjusted, but at the same time, a lot teams haven't changed their approach to how they attack this Phillies lineup. They've seen the same rate of off-speed and breaking balls that they've seen since July of last year, which is 45%. So I don't, you know, I agree with James for the most part. This isn't the time to hit the panic button. But sure, you know, they are being exploited a little bit.
You know, it's funny, Don, and you kind of mentioned this when you're naming the talk about the high payroll. The funny thing is, you know, there was 10 above 500, right? 12 games or something around there, 10 games. And the funniest part is it's not like they're, you know, the worst teams of baseball and we're talking about a rebuild. You know, I think it's the fact that it's Philadelphia sports and we're so accustomed to them performing at such a high level that when they perform so bad like they've done, everybody and their mother decides to hit the panic button, which is insane because they still have one of the most talented rosters in the entire MLB. And like I said before, and I kind of want to double down on my point, is that, you know, they're just going slump. And we've seen time and time again that they get up just like Rocky has done, and they start performing. The only thing that I like what Gavin had said is that, and as to why it's so concerning, is this going to happen come postseason, right? Are they going to be able to turn on that next gear and, you know, go into playoffs with a whole full head of steam, maybe to the World Series, where, you know, which they haven't do the past few years. So I think that's why everybody's so concerned. But personally, I don't want to go as far as say, yo, this is hard. I don't want to sound like the Cowboys, right? But I do want to say, Thomas, and you know, this team, like I said, is one of the most talented in the entire MLB, and I, you know, they'll be just fine.
Yeah, and you know, to you know, the other thing too, I think that everybody's forgetting is these. They're, you know, I just went through the, you know, their in-game issues, but in terms of roster construction, this is nothing new. Like I'm where's the outrage coming from? Because this is nothing new. Yes, the outfield has been brutal, especially in the center field spot. At the center field position through 65 games, a 6.09 OPS. That's a franchise worst since 1901. However, you know, the center field spot's been an issue for the last couple of years. You know, Brandon March still can't hit the other side of the plate. Johan Rojas still hasn't developed a bat. You know, and I think now to some degree, yeah, Nick Castellanos defensively continues to be a liability. He's a -9 in defensive runs saved. But then, you know, you go to the bullpen. We've been talking and complaining about this bullpen since 2023. It's not a new problem. You know, not having Jose Alvarado hurts. But the biggest thing is, yeah, you still don't have a right-handed reliever that you can trust against lefties. You can't send Matt Strom out there all the time. But this is nothing new.
To that point, though, it's like James said, it's baseball and slumps happen.
Yes.
I mean, like, let's not add, like, I think what happens is, and kind of like the more of the city is you lose, like, all right, for example, the Eagles lose one or two games, right? Oh, the Eagles, worst team in the world. Yeah. Oh, fire Nick Sirianni. I'll do this, do that. And I'm like, yo, I'm like, they're still like the best team in the NFC. They're like, yo, bad games. Like, no one, and I don't care what your profession is, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a construction worker, whether you're a fireman, whether you're in the sports world, whether you're out of sports world, whether you're a teacher. Bad days happen. Unfortunately, in the world of baseball, bad days aren't just one day. It's a stretch of days. It's a stretch of games. It happens. Hell, some people go on a slump for 3 weeks, and then imagine they're the hottest player on earth. It happens. But I like the notion of how we talk about Bryce Harper. Granted, I know he's the best player on this team, but, I mean, the guy and the guy played so far in 57 games he's played this year. He has over 40 – he scored over 32 runs, 55 hits. He got 13 doubles. What is that? Zero triples, only 9 home runs, 34 RBIs on and 95 total bases. So we're talking about Bryce Harper, like he's the hottest guy on his team. That just seems like a pretty on average normal start to a season. Yeah, normal start to a season. But like I look at this team, guys, and I'm like, it's like, calm down. We're not below. Like what? And to the point, is John Middleton correct? But what other point or what else can they spend? What money else can you spend? Where else? I understand baseball is a sport where you pay for your team. I get it. I understand about that because the Mets and other. But there's a right way to do it. And unfortunately, who else is out there you're going to get? You can go get Noah Arenado, but I highly doubt he's having a standout season right now. If anyone is correct me, please go ahead. But I'm like, at some point, it's what's going to be. Just ride out with this. Now, to the postseason, I don't know. We saw what happened to them last year where they went cold and versus the Mets and everybody was displeased. But in actuality, I just think that one, that magic red touch that they had the prior 2 years wasn't going to happen. And what happened was, and Dom, and James, this is before you got a chance to join the radio show last year, but I said this to Dom and to Pat, I said, guys, the one thing I hate about the Phillies going to the World Series and then going to the NL, what was it? NLCS? Yes. NLCS? The final year? That is not realistic. From a team that went from just being trash to you just switch managers over, then you catch hot. Baseball is literally the definition of momentum and being hot at the right time. 100%. Nothing right now. You you saw what that can look like when you're hot and when you're cold. This is what it looks like. That's all I have to say. I think the boys are fine. Would it be nice to make a move? Cool. What move? Where the bullpen still sucks. We haven't addressed that. Alvarado being out for 80 games. Yeah, that hurts because he was the best guy you had. I don't know who else. You had Strom out there. Strom gave up a home run and had the game tied. So what? Like, what are you gonna do, Brandon Marsh? It's only one-sided. Johan Rojas comes up to the plate with a pool noodle and tries to swing and hit something with it. It doesn't matter. But the fact that all these situations going on all year long and this is what, and there's still 10 games above 500, everybody gets calm. Calm yourselves. Calm yourselves. I will say, getting swept by Pittsburgh was not a good look. It wasn't. It was not.
They play bad baseball. Don't like well, you know, there's no sugarcoating it. They've had a really bad stretch. But you know, to James's original point, I don't think you can hit the panic button.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think the only reason why people do panic so much is because it's not the losses themselves, it's the way they've lost and how big of a margin they're losing. You know, there's games where I just saw, you know, there's against the Brewers, they lost 17 to
he
seven.
Was there.
Well, I was at that game actually.
Oh geez. Yeah, see there's that. And then you know, there's another game where they're losing 6-2, and then there's you know, they're losing 9-2, 9-1. Like it's not necessarily the slump of the losses, it's that mixed in with the culmination of how bad they played, you know, lack of offense, defense is poor, and the margin of in which they're losing is so like spaced out that people look at that and they're like, this team looks like the worst team in baseball.
Right.
But, you know, when we look at it on paper, they're not at all. So, I mean, I know we're just like doubling, tripling, and almost quadrupling our points here, but, you know, that's just the reality of it. And, you know, it's just, you know, like Dom said, there's no sugarcoating. They play bad, but, you know, it's not going to last. You know, this too shall pass. So, you know, nothing to panic about, nothing to worry about. They'll be just fine. And, you know, hopefully we'll see them make a push towards the World Series and win this thing. But, yeah, well, I mean, it's just, you know, the second half of the season. Like, come on.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you guys a question before we round out this talk. I'm not hitting the panic button yet. I'm not panicking.
I'm not panicking. It continues, absolutely. I mean, then we have something to be concerned with.
If this is something that we've seen in August, right? Now let's say this is like August. This would be something to panic about. Whether you're 10 games above 100 or not, this is something you don't want to see because that means you don't play a majority of your season. The season's ending, and the Phillies are known to have a great collapse in August or a great collapse in September and then try to pile it back together the last 3 weeks, and then next thing you know, you don't make it. If this happens in August/September, then we can hit that panic button. Right now, to what you guys' points, just enjoy the summer. Enjoy the ride. It'll be all right. You know, things come, things go. It happens. All right. Now, on to the NFL. Mandatory mini camps are underway, and there's a few gentlemen not there. The name a few off the top of the head. TJ Watt is holding out. Terry McLaurin is holding out. You have Trey Henderson holding out. I believe there's another gentleman holding out too. I can't off the top of my head. It was on McAfee. There was like a list of like six of them up there. And one was Shamar Stewart, but not worried about him. So for those who care, Shamar Stewart, the 72 overall pick, has not signed yet. And also coming out the NFL world as well, Jair Alexander has been released from the Packers. So let's go to the mandatory minicamp. No TJ Watt, no Terry McLaurin, no Trey Henderson, which was expected. Dom, we talked about it. How do you guys feel about that? Like, what is your feelings about? Because the TJ Watt one was unexpected. That was something I acknowledge. I heard JJ say that, like, you know, on McAfee that there two sides are working, but nothing's really been happening. He said, but that's not my business to tell. And then you see, you know, this is a guy in TJ Watt who, granted, has some injury history, missed some games with, you know, serious season and injuries. But when he's been on there, he's been arguably the best player on defense at all times. They got to get this deal done, simply. For TJ Watt, they had to get this deal done. Now, when it comes to Terry McLaurin, I'm not really too worried about it. They just got Deebo Samuels there. They just reloaded on offense for Jaden Daniels. I highly doubt they get rid of him. I think right now it's just we just got to see what the market's at for wide receivers because I don't know who was the last wide receiver to set the market. I think maybe A.J. Brown. I'm not sure. But what you guys' feelings on that, Don? We'll start with you. How do you feel about the little holdouts that are going on? I mean, like we said, Trey Henderson, kind of see what's going to happen.
So I mean, you know, this happens every year where there's a couple guys that hold out, like Terry McLaurin. You know, I think it's just a matter of, hey, you know, I don't have anything on the table right now. So, you know, yeah, there's no reason for me to be at camp. You know, I think it's clear that, hey, you know, he's had plenty of opportunities to leave Washington or be dealt if he's really wanted to. He stuck it out. I think he's going to be, you know, I think he'll be there, you know, as soon as they get a deal done. You know, Trey Hendrickson, all the momentum has been building towards him not being at minicamp. You know, I'm curious to see if he's kind of this year's, I'm blanking on the name right now. crap, I'm blanking on.
This year's
Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we see a situation like that. You know, yeah, the Watt situation is surprising. But you know, I think they'll eventually get a deal done as well. I just don't know what the timetable on that looks like. So with those guys, you know, yeah, no big surprise there. I am curious to see where Jair Alexander ends up though.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, honestly, Dom, real quick. Dude, I think this happens every year, right? And the fact that we as a collective, as humans, we as fans, we make a big deal out of it. The whole Terry thing, like he wants to be in Washington, especially after that year like they had last year, despite getting, you know, absolutely thumped by the Birds, go Birds. You know, it's like they have a unit in Washington. I'll be honest, you know, they're looking pretty good. And, you know, he's not going to say, hey, yeah, deal me out. Like he definitely wants to be there. I mean, he had so many opportunities to leave, you know, when they were bad, and now that they're good, why on earth would he want to leave? Right. So he's in for the long haul. In terms of, you know, TJ Watt, he wants to be in Pittsburgh, you know, same thing. Just wants the, you know, the money that he deserves. And, you know, with everybody else, it's the same thing. With Jair Alexander, though, I mean, there's a number of reports that, and, you know, a number of teams such as the Birds who go after him or the Ravens are obviously a contender. I was actually pretty shocked to see the Packers, you know, let him go, especially considering that they were a playoff team last year, and he's a big part of that. So I think that was a bit surprising when I saw that report. My jaw kind of dropped, and I went, what on earth is going on in Green Bay? I know, you know, a lot of it has to do with cap room and, you know, he's aging. And obviously we know DBs don't last forever in the NFL, but he's still a damn good player. You know, he's got a lot to offer and, you know, a team like the Eagles or anybody else is going to be lucky to have
him. To the point about the Jair Alexander, I was surprised to see that too, considering that was who they were banking on to cover most of these guys. Now, granted, injuries last season kind of kept them out in and out of the lineup. But he was going against a lot of the ones last year, and he did a pretty fairly good job when he was out there. As far as where Jair Alexander goes, I'm not sure. I saw that Buffalo, the hat Buffalo would be a great place for him. They could use him. They could use the corner. That's the only weakness they have is corner. They haven't had a really great corner since Tre'Davious White and Stephon Gilmore days. And then you go and you look at Baltimore, just the history with Lamar Jackson, them being teammates. Then that could really strengthen their secondary. Now adding Malachi Starks as well to Kyle Hamilton, to Nate Wiggins, to Marlon Humphrey, who I think is kind of a little on a slight decline, a little bit. Didn't have a really good year last year. I don't know, and I will say though, if the Eagles, they have the cap room for them. They do have the cap room for them. I think that Huff trade is official, if I'm not wrong. So that money comes off the books. You could do it. You could do it. You could keep Coop DeJean, especially with talks of Coop DeJean moving to safety occasion here and there. It wouldn't be bad to bring him in. Him and Quinion be the ones and twos again. Quinion being the one, that guy being a two, and Coop being a three, right in the nickel. And then you add my guy. I'm blanking on his name. Exciting Mike. You already know his name. Yeah.
Keely Ringo?
No, Blankenship. My guy, Exciting Wise, Blankenship. And then, like, in the safety position, if you do decide to bring and put Coop in the safety position more, which I honestly want to see the guy from Texas more
than. He can play anywhere. No, Kobe can play anywhere.
But, I mean, that wouldn't be a bad idea. I just don't see Jair Alexander. I think the Eagles are kind of saving their money for something different. But two, I just want to report on real quick to give you guys a list. Jalen Ramsey did not report to manager minicamp, but that is because they're looking for trade partners. Jonnu Smith as well. Just a little notable: Michael Parsons, the podcast guy. He showed up to his mandatory minicamp, even though he's looking for a contract of his own. Shamar Stewart, as I said, he didn't even sign the contract. My guy, you're the 7th overall pick, not number one, top 10. Just sign the deal, work through it, just get there, man. Come on, don't overlong your process. You're a tough player, and considering that they just Trey Henderson may be on his way out, you may be be able to get that money that he's not going to get.
It'll be interesting to see where he ends up if he heads out.
Bills running back James Cook reportedly is at mentoring minicamp, but he's still seeking a new deal. Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson, that's going to be interesting. You got to pay them both. Sauce had it down here last year. Garrett Wilson was all right, but then again, the Jets offense was broken. They're looking for deals as well, but mandatory minicamp and down third quarterback Kirk Cousins is mandatory minicamp. And he, despite deciding wanting to be traded, he's still a team first guy. He's still there backing up Michael Penix. So that'll be interesting to see. Dom, Jair Alexander is a free agent. Oh, and by the way, talk about free agents and former Packers players. Aaron Rodgers is going to the Steelers. That happened over the weekend. A-Rod is going to the Steelers. Congratulations. You guys waited half your offseason, or got us 40, almost 42, and didn't do anything. It's coming up with Achilles, so have fun with that. Mike Thomas, I don't like that idea. And he's going to come and make all these changes and adjustments and all that thing. But that's neither. I'm not. Listen, Don, me and you know Steelers, man. We'll let her decide that for us. But Dom, Jair Alexander, James, throw some teams out there. Philadelphia could be up there. You know how that's not a move Howie's never against making. He wants to, in order to stay on top, you have to reload. Where do you think would be a good fit for Jair Alexander anyway?
Yeah, I mean, he fits in any modern NFL system. You know, it's just a matter of his health. It's a matter of, you know, what he really wants. It's a matter of cost. So there's a couple different factors. You know, if he really wants to take a year and earn himself a big, like another nice big deal, then the Eagles would be the ultimate spot for him. But I don't know how much that they're willing to spend at this point. Like, you know, I here's the thing, you know, if you're the Eagles and you're going to make another big move, you know, I don't necessarily know if you have the assets to, or, you know, you have the wiggle room to, you know, I go back to the Zach Bond deal. I think that's the deal ultimately in the long run. Yes. You know, you lock up a guy that's developed, that really fits what you do well and had a really good year. But, you know, I think that hinders into your capital a little bit long term. But, you know, this is also the type of team that they may not necessarily need, you know, another splash to continue to stay on top. You know, that, you know, this isn't the type of roster that's built, or this is the type of roster that they're young enough and they have enough pieces locked down long term to where they can get another one or maybe two without having to make another big move. But I do think Jair Alexander would be a great fit here. It's just a matter of what both sides want. You know, I think if he is here, though, it's only a 1 year, it's a 1 year stop, and he's playing himself into another nice deal.
Good, yeah, 100%. Dom, I mean, the way I see it too, and you just kind of got me and my brain rolling, the gears turning here. With Jair Alexander, you know, he's proven, and he's only 28 years old. And I mean, you're in that middle ground for corners. He's not too old, not too young type of deal, right? If the Eagles were to sign him, 1 year deal, that's a proven deal, 100%. You know, the same thing like that.
I'm looking for anything long term, though, if you talk about him.
Gotcha. But like I'm just saying, like, you know, with Alexander, you know, it's kind of like a proven deal. I mean, you don't need him forever. They already have cornerback talent, and kind of like what I was saying before, you know, they have depth. So if they want to do it, you know, they could do it. Obviously, if Alexander wants, then both sides would have to mutually come to an agreement, because there's plenty of other teams that could use his abilities. But if it comes down to it and the Birds end up landing him, I mean, that's Howie the Magician Roseman working his magic, right? We've seen it time and time again, year after year. But, yeah, I think it'll be interesting with the developments of this situation with Alexander. But, yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. Always interesting.
You don't need him. Like you said, like, you guys are right. It's not like a needed thing. He is proven. But here's my thing. It's not like you have to trade for him.
Absolutely. And you don't pay him a lot either.
Right. It could be like, hey, man, 1 year, $5 million, $6 million. If you want to just come win and kind of like put yourself on, because you guys have a lot of primetime games, so you'll be getting looked at to set yourself up for that next contract then you come here. Now, if you're looking for more of a more temporary home or a home you're like, hey, I'm not trying to move, then you look at like a Buffalo, you look at Baltimore. But I think if I'm Jair, I'm, and this is no shade to the head, Dom, but I'm picking Baltimore only just because they just have that window. I feel like their window is just a little bit better than what Buffalo has right now offensively on the other side of the ball, considering that the wide receiver time, I mean, they just signed DeAndre Hopkins, which is, you know, a little bit on the older side, but, you know, Lamar's Lamar. You still got Derrick Henry and the Wizard running there, and you still got Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, if he's, and Likely they'll still be – likely they'll still be good, but it'll be interesting to see where this goes. Him and Jalen Ramsey are kind of like, here, I think he's the more attractive option, because for Jalen Ramsey, you're going to trade for him, going to give stuff up. He's on the older side. He's not the same guy as he used to be anymore. Whereas, and that's no diss whatsoever, but with Jair, he's just sitting there. It never hurts. I say if I'm Hallie, I would incline to see. To your point, James, you have depth. You don't need him. It would be cool to have, you know, to give another year for like a guy like Coop DeGene who can develop to a solid number two and be an outside guy for the futures to come. But then again, if you're ready to rock and roll with what you have, then go for it. The Eagles are in a perfect spot with this situation where you're not losing anything. And if you do get them, that's great. If you don't get them, it's okay. I'd love to sell this in, though.
I kind of compare it to the whole C.J. Gardner-Johnson type of ordeal that the – I don't want to call it an ordeal. I guess more situation that they had where he came in, you know what I mean, and ended up leaving due to contract dispute kind of. But, you know, ended up betting on himself, didn't end up working out, went to the Lions for a year, right, and then came right back to the Birds. That could potentially be something that Jair decides to do. Except this time it won't. It'll be kind of the flip of what CJ did. So he will kind of get a 1-year deal unless somebody wants to make a splash for him. But he did have a down year last year, so I don't see any team giving him a ton of money. I think that 1-year deal type of deal is pretty much what's going to be on the table. It's just a matter of where, you know, and when that this decides to go down. But yeah, I think to your point, you know, with Jalen Ramsey older. You know, doesn't have too much left in the tank, I'd say. Not the player he used to be. Jair, you know, he hasn't hit 30 yet. That's when they usually decline. So he's still got a few more years before he hits that mark. And, you know, it could be another guy like Darius Slay who ends up playing until he's like 33, 34, right? So you never know. It'll be interesting for sure.
And it'll be interesting if he did come here and ultimately like to hear, it could be one of those guys like, I just want to win.
Yeah.
Him, Quinyon Coop, that sounds like a dangerous trio. And you got Reed Blankenship, you got Andrew and
Makuba.
Thank you. The
one thing I kind of want to add to that is that the best part about that type of situation is he doesn't have to be the guy, right? Like he had to be in Green Bay. He doesn't have to be relied on due to the depth that the Birds have. And I think that's something.
That's right.
So coming to a place like Philly gives him that ability to kind of get that prove it deal. Like, I know I keep, you know, quadrupling down on that, but, you know, maybe this is something I want to see, right? I want to see him in this system and just kind of like, I'm kind of biased here because I just want to see the Birds win multiple Super Bowls. But, you know, that could be something that's pretty exciting. And if I were a player, I'd look at that too and go, you know, I don't need to be the guy. And I don't have to be on a team that isn't getting over that hump. This team, like the Eagles, is proven, has the talent, has the depth, and can, you know, make a move for me and has the money to get me. And if I choose to not want to be there the next year, then I can do that. So I think it's a win-win for both. But, yeah, there's teams like Buffalo, you know.
The Rams are up there as well.
Rams, Ravens, right. I mean, I could even see, I don't even know, Chargers or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't rule out any of those AFC West teams, James. I wouldn't rule out the Chargers. I especially wouldn't rule out the Raiders.
The Broncos.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out the Broncos, who just signed J.K. Dobbins to a 1-year deal, by the way.
I was just going to say, alongside Pat Surtain, that'd be disgusting.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out. And I mean, and you know, you have Jahdae Barron out there now. I wouldn't. I mean, that'd be a really good secondary as well. That'd be a great mentor.
What is in a weird world, Dom, and James, what is a weird world where Jair Alexander goes to Houston, teams over Derek Stingley with CJ and Petrie in the secondary, and then they got their own little thing. They take down the AFC South.
They very that, well could.
That division's wide open.
Listen. And we don't know what the health, but to the Texans real quick, just notable, like Dom, so J.K. Dobbins is going to win your deal to Broncos, which is pretty good. The back, they don't have Javonte Williams anymore, and he had a pretty good year last year. I'm surprised the Chargers, they got Najee Harris, but I'm surprised they brought Najee in and they keep him. And the Texans get, I'm shocked about this one. The Texans get Nick Chubb, and they're pairing up with Joe Mixon. If you're Nick Chubb, that is perfect. You had two major knee injuries in the last 3 years. You get a guy like Joe Mixon who would take bulk of the carries, and all you got to do is be within the 5 yard, the 15 yard line, and that's where you can eat. You don't have to be Mr. 25 carries. You can be Mr. 10 to 15. You're still, and that's no disrespect to Nick Chubb. He's still all world in my eyes. He loved to have him. I would have took him here if we didn't have AJ Dillon. But those are just little notable signings going around the NFL. Fellas, anything else on NFL world?
I just think it's going to be an exciting season once again. I'm looking forward. You know, I always like looking at the different moves that different teams make.
Yeah.
And seeing, you know, kind of predicting what could happen or transpire throughout the season. And I feel like, you know, we all try to put our input in, but yet we're all left completely, you know, wrong. And there's a lot of good surprises, right? Like, we're all like, oh, yeah, this team's going to win. And then it turns out it's complete opposite, right? So I think once again, I'm looking forward to the season. I think there's going to be a lot of really good games. I mean, there's a lot of talent in this league, so I'm looking forward to it.
I was semi surprised that the Dallas Cowboys didn't get in on Nick Chubb. Because here's the thing, like,
typical Cowboys. This is what they do every year. They don't go after
anything. Like, all biases aside, like, I've said this to Gavin. I've said this to you before. I truly think this is going to be a bad football team this year. I think it's truly going to be a bad football team, and a big part of that is because they do not have a ground game to alleviate the volume in the passing game. The way they're going to have to beat teams this year, the way they're going to have to get to the playoffs through the NFC, the Super Bowl champion, the NFC champion, and the NFC runner-up, is they're going to have to beat teams with volume in the passing game. They're going to have to wear down secondaries. And you can only do that but so much. Yes, they were top five, in passing attempts per game. And even without Dak, and you have Dak back now, you have George Pickens, who is going to allow CeeDee to play in the slot even more. But, you know, to me, they still don't have a ground game. They still don't. I mean, you know, yeah, they have Kevontae Williams now, but to me, that's just not enough what their path to the playoffs is going to look like. You know,
to back your point up on the run part right there, Zach Martin retired. You got to have some good shoes to fill.
They got Tyler. They did a good job.
That's a restart.
He's going to be very good.
It's going to take him a minute, though.
I don't know about that. He's going to be very good. I'll say this. The two rookies that I think make the biggest impact right away at their respective franchises are in the NFC East, and that's Abdul Carter and Tyler Booker. Tyler, I mean, I can't say enough how impressed I am with Tyler Booker. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be Zach Martin, you know, and he's a guard, but you know, he's definitely what they need up front. But yeah, I just don't like the offensive makeup of this team right now. You're going to have to beat teams with volume through the air, and that's going to be very tough, especially in this division.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. But the thing is, you know, talking, all I could think about was I could see the Giants beating the Cowboys. You know, again, all biases aside, you know, they could surprise some people and do some things with Jackson Dart and, you know, I don't know how to say his last name. How do you say it? Cam, what is it? Scatabo. Scatabo.
Scatabo.
Scatabo, thank you. Scatabo. You know what I mean? That's another move, man. Like, and plus, they got to get by the Eagles, and they got to get by the Commanders. Like, you know, that's NFC beast.
The Giants, so, James, yeah. It's funny you bring that up. The Giants are, to me, are an enigma because they have the pieces where they could put a decent season together. I mean, one way or another, they're going to have to figure out a way to do so because they're playing for jobs up there this year. However, they have one of the toughest schedules in the NFL. So that's going to be a really interesting team to watch. You know, obviously, you know, they're going to go with Russ out of the gate. But hey, do we see Jax Dart ahead of the schedule? You know, which I think we very well could see, and I'm a big Jax Dart fan. You know, I think I've said this before. I think I might have said it on my last appearance on the radio show, but you know, the Giant. Actually, no, I didn't. It was on my podcast. I don't know. You know, the Giants had a phenomenal draft. I don't know if Brian Daboll, who I think is a very good football coach, and Joe Shane. I don't think those guys live to see the fruits of that development. But I mean, yeah, the Giants could be a really interesting team to follow this year. They could definitely cause some headaches.
I will say with the Giants, though, the one that doesn't get touched on enough, just because they get trolled for just how they just let Saquon walk is. We're not talking about as Malik Nabers actually was a problem at the end of the year last year.
Yeah.
And we also didn't talk about that. They still have Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau coming off the edge. And what we didn't talk about is – go ahead.
No, I was just saying they do have a good defense.
They do have a good defense.
Yeah, they have the pieces to put together a great defense. The only problem is that it's always been – and it's not even overshadowed. It's been undershadowed, you could say, you know, with the lack of offense. Yes. So they got a couple pieces there. And I think, you know, I don't want to, you know, make this a whole Giants talk or anything. But, like, I don't know. I think it's just an interesting thing, interesting team to me that, you know, we always talk about the three, right? We talk about the Eagles being at the top, obviously winning that Super Bowl. We talk about the Cowboys are always second for whatever reason, I guess, you know, always because
it's just America's team.
No, that's baloney. But and you got the Commanders, like you got three teams right there. And then, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Everyone always talks about the Cowboys and, oh, this is our year and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, well, you got three other teams that could, I mean, two that were in the NFC Championship last year. One won the Super Bowl and the other one could, you know, make a splash in some regard, or at least thwart the Cowboys' plans, right? Because they don't have the firepower that, you know, we're all accustomed to being used to. So, I mean, this division, you know, it's we kind of predict it a little bit, but I mean, it's going to be fun to watch. But you know, we'll see.
We might have to do Eagles. We might have to do Eagles pre and post game shows throughout the year. You guys got me ready to go into my element, man.
I'm ready to run through a brick wall right now.
Good. Hey, Johnny, James.
I'm about to run right now. Get up and start running.
But get up is exactly the turn. Listen, the NFC's, say what you want to say about it, never have a repeat champion, yada yada. It would say it's always fun because all four teams hate each other and they all can beat each other on any given Sunday.
Yep.
Any given Sunday, they can all beat each other. Going back to the year where the Eagles had a great collapse and the New York Giants gave a run for the money on Christmas Day, and then they end up being one of the last games of the season. Then you go back to this past year where Washington, you know, that was a weird loss and Washington Eagles suffered where they go to Washington, CJ gets ejected, and next you know, Devontae drops a routine slant catch, and that would be a touchdown. Hurts, you know, gets knocked out by Louisville, not a big fan. Who gets knocked out by Louisville early in the game, and next you know they lose, and then the Giants for some reason always put Eagles tough, especially when they come to Philadelphia. So it's interesting to say. All I would say though, I'm down with Eagles pre and post game. Listen, I'm for it. I can't wait for the season. The only thing I can wait for is the schoolwork, because that's when football season comes back, means the school come back. I'm not ready for that, but you know what I'm ready for. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. But last night, game 3 happened, and boy, that was something else. The Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers are facing off. It is 2-1 Florida after last night's just straight domination on Florida's part. They beat the Edmonton Oilers 6-1. We had goals from, and please, go easy with me on these names. We had goals from I'm gonna try. Go easy. It's not easy. We had goals from Sam Reinhart. I think Marchand started up early with the earliest goal. Quickest goal, too, in Florida Stanley Cup Panthers history, by the way. I think he scored in like the first 5 minutes of the game. Correct me if I'm wrong. Evan Rodriguez scored a goal with Sam Reinhart. Then he had Carter Vart. I'm not even going to try that. But Carter scored. Sam Bennett scored. Aaron Ekblad had a goal as well. And Marchand as well. And that was just six. And the highlight of the night wasn't that. It was that magically there was a five-man brawl on the ice dime. I was watching James. They were going back and forth as a person who's trying to get into hockey. I love seeing that. You know, the NBA, Adam Silver, 30 seconds of a brawl. And maybe, you know, let LeBron throw uppercut here and there. Let me stop. But, look, they're rolling. Last night, it looked like Edmonton was trying to play Florida Panthers hockey, which is play physical, and that's not their team. All right, not. I did see that Connor McDavid, you know, went down with a quick little injury. I think he bumped knees with a Florida player on a hit. They just got physical. They tried to play up to the Edmonton, the Florida Panthers style of hockey, and it didn't work. They need to go back to playing how they normally play. But James, Florida won 6-1. Hockey is not our strongest suits here on this program, so we're learning to get better. But I had to talk.
By the time it is October of next year, we will have this down.
We will. I think
we'll get James back on here.
We lost James. But down. We'll keep it moving while we get James back in here. But you good? All good?
There he is.
Why,
sorry about that, boys.
All good. Hey, welcome back, James. But James, I'm back. Last night was a pure domination, 6-1. Oilers tried to play Panthers style hockey, which is physical. Didn't work out. Skinner got absolutely destroyed last night. Some of the stuff were snipes. Dom James. There was a puck that went over his shoulder. Literally, an absolute snipe from Marchand. I don't know what you guys want to do. I say there's three hard, like, difficult sports, right? There's three difficult sports. And in those sports, they have each have one difficult position. And in baseball, I think it's being a pitcher, because you have the perfection of getting yourself in control, making sure the other batter can't hit it easily, and you're also working against the ump. And I think in football, it's quarterback. You're reading a defense. You're setting the lineup. You got to worry about the time, right? And in hockey, it's playing goalie, because you have a puck coming at you at velocity over 80-plus sometimes. I think Marchand hits a slap shot that's like 120 off the stick, which is insane. So goalies got a hard job, but Skinner looked like he was having a rough night. James, what's next for Edmonton? How do they get back on track?
Well, I mean, they got to play total team hockey. I mean, you look at the Florida Panthers and the way they just they thwarted the Edmonton Oilers, right? They played total team hockey, and I mean, that's what they got to get back to. I mean, it was, 6-1. That's a beatdown. And the only way to come back from that is to fire on all cylinders and come back swinging, right? Like we always say. They were just sloppy, you know, giving up goal after goal. And, I mean, at that point, it's not even just the goalie's fault. Because, you know, they're being left on an island a lot of the time, right? And you can't blame them, right? You can only do so much when that goalie's put on an island and you got no help. Especially when that offense isn't clicking, that makes it that much more difficult for the goalie, and that defense to actually, you know, do anything productive. So, I mean, kudos to the Panthers for, you know, coming out and kicking some butt. I mean, it's a long series, right? It's been three games.
I believe Thursday.
So, I mean, all Edmund has to come out and do is, take a game and it'll be back to 2-2. So, again, it's not the end of the world for them. It's a seven-game series for a reason, right?
To the point about Skinner, fellas, 23 saves – or sorry, 23 shot attempts and only had 18 saves. Let it go. So, I look at that and I'm like, that's not terrible. But at the same time, too, it's like in the playoffs, I think because you let up five and how, I mean, some of them are like, you know, some of them are like, they're like, guys, I mean, Dom James, did you guys get a chance to see like the highlights of the, like, some of them goals are like, dude, I couldn't, like, I don't know, Henry Lundqvist or something, like, over the shoulder, hitting top post, going in. No, that's disgusting.
Oh yeah, I mean they were firing on all cylinders. I mean those were quite literally snipes, right? And I look here and I see Connor McDavid. He had two shots on goals. He is your best player. With
Draisaitl has zero. Draisaitl has zero.
Right, and then I look at Evan Bouchard had nine, and then Corey Perry. You know he's been around for a long time, but. Five shots on goal. Like, your best player in Connor McDavid, it was a non-factor, which to me is extremely concerning. You know, I just said, it's a long series. Cool. But, like, in those big moments, right, you need your superstar player who I've seen highlights of him work his match and go in and out and absolutely dismantle a defense single-handedly was not an X factor whatsoever. And, you know, if that continues – oh man, the Panthers are. I mean, they're going to steamroll this team, and win another Stanley Cup.
So,
because I'm pretty sure what is this, like, the third time they've been the Stanley Cup in 3 years, or something
like that. Yeah, and they're going back. Yeah, not easy to do. No. Now hold on, I want to ask you because now and the kind of swing conversation. Real quick, the fact that Leon Draisaitl, your second best player, had zero shots, that's concerning. And also, too, James, to your point, McDavid is the fastest man on the ice. Yep. The fact that he was on the ice more last night than working with McDavid. Imagine, I mean, there was a play from last year's playoffs where he weaved in between four players and somehow got the goal going. I'm like, how? I don't think this is over. I generally don't think this is over. I think this goes to seven. I guess my question for everybody is, it's 2-1. Dom, you emphasize in basketball, which we're going to after this, you emphasize that every game matters, and it's true. You're going to have game five back in Edmonton, but you got to get one here to even it up. You don't want to go back home down 3-1 like it was last year. So I guess or 3-0 like it was last year. So I ask you, James, 2-1 Florida. Is the Florida Panthers going back-to-back, or will we see Edmonton hoisting the trophy? Who are you picking?
So I'm actually going with Florida in six. But if Edmonton gets this game at home and we can see what happens after that, then yeah, I could see it going to seven, but I don't know, man. That Florida team is dangerous. It's depth, it's a mixture of talent, depth, and just experience, like they've been here before. And when you got three of those things, that's a very dangerous combination. It's almost like this is a routine thing for them. And I could see it easily just they're getting it done in six, especially after that 6-1 win. That's, to me, that was kind of convincing. But again, it's a long series and anything can happen. But I could see it. Florida hosting that Stanley Cup trophy.
Going back to back.
Going back to back. They've been here before. They've done it. They know what it takes. And they got the talent to do it. So I could see them doing it again.
Dom. Draisaitl. McDavid. James is going Florida in six.
Yeah, I'm going Florida too.
Oh, man.
I'm going Florida too.
I mean, watching last night, I mean, me and you were watching a little bit too. It's like, Florida looked like they just took Edmonton's spirit last night. I don't watch hockey like I'm trying to get into now. Like Dom said, we're going to get into it. But I will say that after watching last night, a score 6-1 does not look like something that you would see, especially in the Stanley Cup final. You drop five goals. And these games between these two get crazy. Remember, game one, it was I think Draisaitl hit a game winner, basically. And then game two went to the Panthers because of overtime, and then last night was just pure domination. I'm still rocking with Edmonton to seven, Edmonton 6 or 7, just because you still got the best player, like James, like you alluded to, the best players on the other team, the best player of the entire NHL that they consider on the other team. Draisaitl didn't have any shots on goal, which he's arguably your second best player on the team. The fact that he just was after skating for cardio for X amount of time is not a great thing to see. I still got Edmonton. Now, if the same thing happens, I believe next game is on Thursday. If the same thing happens again, then I have to sing a different tune. But I'm going to rock with Edmonton, so I'm going to rock with Edmonton. Speaking of from one final to another, guys, the NBA Finals is going to Indy tomorrow night, probably at 8 o'clock start, or as Dominic's alluded to, more like 8:25 because they don't start on time. But let's talk about it real quick. Game 2, I know we did a post-game show, but for those of you who didn't get a chance to go check it out, please make sure you guys go check it out. It was pretty cool. We may do another one depending on time and what everybody's going on schedule-wise. But I will say, for those who do not know, Tyrese Haliburton was a full participant today at practice. He left his post-game press conference with a really bad limp, but everybody seems good to go. According to Shams, the sense of this matter is, dude, everybody's dealing with some sort of injury around this time of year. No one's really, it's just how bad until, you know, can I play? Can I not go? So, looks like Haliburton will be a good to go. Haliburton struggled for most of the game. He had 5 points throughout the first three quarters, and ultimately scored about 14 in the last, 14 and 13 in the last, basically garbage time when it's all over. But game three is tomorrow. Fellas, let's unpack it a little bit. First game in Indiana in the finals since, 2000, I believe. That's going to be, the place is going to be rocking. One thing that Rick Carlisle said, he said, boy, them Thunder fans are loud. Dom, we talk about the dynamics and the metrics of the stadium where everybody's kind of on top of you. What will be the keys? And Dom, I'll go to you first. What is the keys that you would think for Indiana to get that back, to go back up on the Oklahoma City Thunder? Because remember, game 2 was straight pure domination. They still had a high turnover rate. It wasn't as high as game 1, but you saw a lot of passive aggressive from Tyrese Haliburton. He didn't receive too much aggressive at all. Shots weren't falling for Pascal Siakam. There was some wonky sets that we talked about in the postgame. But Dom, what are the keys to game 3 for the Pacers?
Yeah, I think it's plain and simple. Tyrese Haliburton has to be more selfish in game 3. He's had every series that the Pacers have played in, he has had one bad scoring game. In the first round, it was game 1 against the Bucks. In the second round, it was, I forget which game it was against Cleveland. I think it might have been game 2. And then, it was game 5 in the conference finals. He has to be more selfish, and he has to score the ball early. He has to score the ball often. I know that sounds very elementary, but he had his bad game in game 2 on Sunday night. He cannot have another bad game. We've talked a lot about Oklahoma City's defense. They have a lot of guys that can guard the ball and fly around. It's plain and simple. I know Tyrese likes to, set his guys up and get them looks because of the attention that he draws in the lane, but he has to score the ball, plain and simple. He cannot have a repeat of Sunday night.
Good, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And just looking, honestly, man, if the Pacers can stop Shai Gil, what is it, Gil?
Yeah, you were good. Go ahead.
Alexander. I mean, dude.
Jay.
Right? Yeah. Like they can stop the MVP of the league. Like, they can win this series. Looking at game 1, he had 38 points. Nobody else came close. I know game 1, Pacers won, right? But, like, they do that same thing, but they can hold him to less points, which I don't know. It's pretty hard to do. The Pacers could very well win this thing, right? I honestly don't know if they can. I don't know if they will. I could see the Thunder end up winning because, obviously, like, that last game, they were dominant, right? I mean, from the jump. I'm pretty sure at one point I saw it was like 56 or 57 to 29. And I'm like, oh, boy. And then the second half wasn't even over. Or I'm sorry, No, I'm sorry. The first half wasn't even over, right? And I'm thinking to myself, whoa, this is the Thunder are a damn good basketball team, right? And sometimes everybody's allowed to have a bad game, and they only lost by one during game one. So the Thunder are dangerous. So I mean, you know, they're a dangerous team, man.
Going back to game one, like James went up, like Shay, we talk about the Thunder should not lose. It really should be 2-0 Thunder right now. Yep. Game one happened because Obi Toppin hit 5 threes off the bench, and me and you both said, Dom, that's not going to happen. I mean, just pulling up game two, the Thunder's bench, I mean, not the Thunder bench, sorry, the bench of the Pacers, I mean, you only had T.J. McConnell gave you 11, Obi Toppin gave you 3. I think Benedict Mathurin only gave you 14. And then in game two for the Thunder, you had guys like Aaron Wiggins come off the bench to give you 18. Alex Crusoe had a crucial 20. They made the switch early. I meant to mention this, that they're not rocking with the towers. They're putting Cason Wallace out there for small and letting Chet be the only diamond center, how it should be. Speaking of somebody, in game one, Chet had 6 points. In game two, he actually remembered he was the second pick and had 15. Trent said it best, Dom. My cousin James, he said it best. He said Chet Holmgren is the X factor because he's going to make the difference in the series. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to give you 30.
Question, boys, is real quick, not to cut you off, who's going to step up if SGA gets shot down?
Well, that's a great question. It falls on Jalen Williams, who had 34 and a big playoff series against the Timberwolves to send him there. Jalen Williams can go. I mean, in game two, he had 19 points and 5 assists and 5 rebounds. But Don, me and you were watching that game, and it felt like his little streak that they had when Shai was on the bench, him and Chet, they were pooping. And if you could score without him on the court, and then when he comes in and he scores for you, I don't know how you're going to beat that. And Caruso's going to come out and he'll give you something. I mean, the answer to James' question now, it'd be Jalen Williams. It'll be Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren. But I trust Jalen Williams where I trust Chet Holmgren. And remember, the Thunder have a bit higher winning percentage when Jalen Williams in the playoffs scores more than 17 points. He had 19 last night. And technically, Dom, in game one, Jalen Williams had 17. Just Obi Toppin had 20-something off the bench. But, Dom, I'm going with Jalen Williams for James' answer. What you think?
Yeah, I look, I have no qualms about this. It's going to have to be, you know, it would have to be Jalen Williams. You know, and I think the one thing that we saw on, you know, another thing we have to think about, rather, is, and we saw this on Sunday night, is the scoring cushion provided off the bench in that backcourt from Aaron Wiggins and Alex Caruso. You know, it couldn't be more underscored because it was a blowout. But those guys give, and Aaron Wiggins has done it all year. He would be a really good second option on another team right now. I don't know how much longer Oklahoma City or Sam Presti is going to be able to keep that man in Oklahoma City.
If they win, If they win, I don't know.
We'll talk about that when we get to this offseason because it's going to be fun. But we still got basketball right now, so let's stick with that. I think it would have to be Jalen Williams. It would have to be Jalen Williams.
Yeah, that makes sense. But one thing I do really want to ask you guys is, who do you think wins this series?
I can answer, but me and him had the same thing. We had Thunder in six. Okay. We both had Thunder in six. My cousin had Gentleman Sweep Thunder in five, which is honestly still on the table if tomorrow goes to plan. I just don't see them winning in five due to the fact that you're going to Indiana. You'll have to steal a game, which kind of leads me into the point of, like, you have to just play Thunder basketball out in a way. You did well going into a hostile environment in Denver. You took care of business there when needed to. You took care of business in Minnesota. We're not going to talk about the Grizzlies because I don't know what the hell they were doing down. They should have been there. You fire your coach, and next thing you know, you're getting blown out. By the way, I found out today that the in that one game that the Memphis Grizzlies were up, they were up by 20 points, 20-plus points, and they lost to the Thunder. Which leads me to, when the Thunder goes on these runs, right, can the Pacers keep up with them? Game one, they won. They didn't really. The only reason why they lost game one is the one team had 23 turnovers and one team shot just as bad as turning over the ball. When you turn over the ball 23 times, that means so that's like, what, 20, 25 points right there. Oklahoma City is a great defensive team. You have guys that can guard arguably anybody on the floor. And I think one part of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's part that does or skills that doesn't get talked about is his defensive. His defensive efforts. He gets steals. He creates turnovers. He puts his guys in this and on fast break. He's looking up. He's not running with his head down. None of these guys play selfish basketball when they're on the run. They won't play fast pace. They won't slow down. Here's the difference though. Can they do it in Indiana? I have no idea. I am so excited for tomorrow. I think this is the best NBA finals as far as like just small market teams. I don't know why we can't get the damn logo on the floor. Adam Silver, why can't I get the nostalgia? You know I'm talking about Dom the NBA Finals in cursive. I can't get that. I want no AI generated 2K generic Larry O'Brien. Yeah, I just won that a couple of days on the PlayStation. I did. You're talking to a champion, but I'm just saying. Like, I think the Thunder are gonna win the series. It's not gonna be in five. It may be in six. If it gets to seven, which I don't think the Pacers have enough talent. I'm not calling them not talented. I just don't think they have enough of firepower to extend the series longer. But I'm rocking with the Thunder. But, James, we didn't get a chance to ask you, who you got winning this?
Oh, I got Thunder. I think they have way too much firepower. I mean, come on, SGA, Chet, Ingram, Jalen Williams. I mean, dude, they have it, right? They have that it factor. And the thing is, to me, they play collective basketball. A lot like a little bit of how we used to see the Spurs play, right? Where they had although they have Shea, so he's the guy. But a lot of times we've seen the Thunder, pass it around and find that open man. And the thing is, I just see the Pacers kind of, rely a little too heavily on Tyrese Halliburton. They have Pascal Siakam. He's a great player, right? Every team he's played for with the Raptors and now the Pacers. But, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that the Pacers have enough firepower. Like they really only have Halliburton and Siakam that really does it for me, that are consistent scorers. Other than that, I mean, we named at least 3-4 guys in the Thunder that could score, and not to mention Alex Caruso coming off the bench, right? There's another guy
who's another guy.
Right? And that's not even the starting lineup, and he's putting up buckets. So for me, I'm going the same thing. I could see it being in five. I don't think it will be. Definitely six is kind of that magic number that I have in my head. I can agree with you guys. I think everybody pretty much thinks that. But, I mean, we'll see. It's this isn't a video game, right? It's not like it's already predetermined or it's already like, you got the Thunder have a 97 rating and you got the Pacers at, a 92. And or whatever, the Thunder are going to win. So anything can happen. But I do have the Thunder in six. And
I will say to 2 points that you both brought up. Dom, James brought up the point of having just death. Like, some of these guys that are on the bench on Oklahoma City can be, like you said, they could be starters and other options on other teams. But another point that I like too is passing the ball around. We talked about the other day, and we talked about in the post game. The Pacers were just chucking at some point. Literally, was not moving the ball around. It was first shot I see, I'm just going to take it. Now, the Thunder did a great job of disrupting Halliburton, getting him off the ball. Down, like you said, on the post game, getting him off the ball, taking away his first pass and making him, take the ball out of his hands and make others set the offense up, which kind of disrupted it. I mean, it was a possession with Pascal Siakam. He just kind of had it, threw it to somebody, and then got it back and just said, the hell is it, I'm shooting it.
Yeah.
If you come out with that mindset again in game three, you're losing. And it may be Trent's game. It may end in five. But I will say, though, and Dama, I want to have you real quick. I want to get you in here. We look at the Thunder, right? We look at the Pacers. I'm just talking as a finalist as a whole. How good is this for the NBA?
It's pretty good for the NBA. It's pretty good for the NBA. I'm not gonna say. I mean, it alone is great. But it, you know, in the context of, I think, things that the NBA needs to fix, it's pretty good. You know, I think there's a lot more that needs to be addressed and tweaked, but it's great. You know, this is great. It's great to have, you know, two fresh faces in the finals. So, you know, and two very good teams, you know, so I you know, all in all, you can't complain. You can't complain if you're a basketball fan.
What I really like is that they're two small market teams.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we haven't really seen this in a really long time.
Last small market team was what, the Nuggets?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to consider them small market. Yeah,
they're kind of like what they did the halfway. I mean, the only new person on the team was Aaron Gordon. Everybody else is drafted there.
Right.
So,
So I'm thinking, like, you know, this is good for the NBA to have a little bit of a mixture in here with small market teams, you know, getting some love. Because, you know, either way, you have a small market team that's winning this thing, which is great. It just goes to show, honestly, for me, when I look at it, it just goes to show how much talent there is in the NBA. You know, considering that small market teams can compete at a high level and bring home a chip. So, I mean, I like it, man. Regardless of who wins, it's already an exciting series. There's, you know, it's great to watch. Both teams are extremely talented, and it'll come down to who can figure out who and actually, you know, string together a couple games here, right?
Two phenomenal coaches too. I think that's
is that every game is different. You know, game one was entirely different from game two, and game three could very well be the Pacers blowing out the Thunder, right?
That point. That's the one thing I want to say. Well, granted, the series was 1-1, but dude, the Pacers got dominated in game one too. They did. The Pacers, like, Dom, that's what I said, if you're the Pacers, like, that's cool, you won, but take the game winner out.
They only led for 3 seconds.
Literally, and it was the final second of the game.
Yeah. That 3 seconds was the most important, but
right. So tomorrow,
last bit.
So tomorrow, game three, James, game three tomorrow in Indiana. Who you taking to win game three?
I'm thinking that the Pacers are actually going to surprise some people.
Pacers,
I think tomorrow. They're gonna win.
Dom
in Indiana, and I think, you know, it's their first finals in how many years since they got a lot to play for, and I just think they might actually, you know, they have 3 games of final experience, right, under their belt in this collective roster. So I think that I think they come out and surprise some people. You know, they're at home. That fan base is going to be rocking. I think they turn some heads, but. You know,
remember
the only time
to make sure they show who's their hospitality, whatever the hell that means. John Mellencamp, can't talk about every game. Dom, game three, Thunders, Pacers. Who you taking?
I'm gonna go with Indy. I think they take a 2-1 series lead, and then we see Oklahoma City respond in game four, just as they did on Sunday night. But I like the Pacers get. I like the if the Pacers are going to get one at home, I think it's game three.
I'm gonna rock with the Thunder. I think just because in the last 2 games, the Thunder were the most dominant team. I mean, you only led for 3 seconds in game one, and I don't think you really led that all in game two too much. The Thunder's showing that they're the better team. I'm going with the Thunder in game three. I'm gonna rock with Indy in game four most likely, but we'll touch on that when it's time. With that being said, fellas, anything else that you'd like to cover?
No, this was great. This was great.
I appreciate being back, boys. This has been a lot of fun.
More to come with James, not James. We have a tradition at the end of this program. Yeah, I think I mentioned to you already, but we like to, you know, throw a little question out there, you know, get the brains a little turn, you know what I'm saying? We piss people off on the thing. But Let's see. Last time down with Trent, we didn't do one for the postgame, I don't think, so we did one with Trent. We did favorite sports moments. Let's go. How about give me your top five favorite baseball players in the game right now?
That's a good question. Are you asking me, or is this
just for everybody? Everybody says this. This is everybody.
Let's see. That's a good question, man.
Anyone can take that. Yeah. I had some in mind. You got it, Don?
Yeah, I got my five.
Go for
In no order. In no order.
Yeah, James, no order, by the way. No order.
Yeah, in no particular order. One of my five favorite guys right now is Cal Raleigh from out of Seattle. So fun fact, when I was at a graduate assistant coach with Westchester Baseball, we had a pitcher who played rookie ball for the San Diego Padres organization, and he gave up the first home run he gave up was to Cal Raleigh. That's a little fun fact, but I like, I think Cal Raleigh is on pace to start in the All-Star game this year. I'm really pleased with his development, especially with how last year started for him. I'm a big Cal Raleigh fan. I'm also going to go with Bobby Witt Jr., a guy who I think I had at the beginning of the year as an AL MVP candidate. I still wouldn't rule that out, but I would go Bobby Witt Jr. I would also say I'll go Aaron Judge.
All right.
I'm gonna go with Jung Hoo Lee, and then because I've been a big believer in him since he's came into the league, and then if I had to go one more, probably that's tough. That's tough. Coming.
I know it's coming.
Pete Alonso. I've always been a big Pete Alonso fan.
Petey, the polar bear.
Yep.
James, you got your five. You want me to go, and we let you end it, man.
I got you. I got my five. So I'm actually gonna go with. I'm gonna go with Bryce Harper. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, pretty crazy. Just because he's always a player that, makes moves, makes things happen. He's a special player. And this is in no particular order either. I got Aaron Judge, he's a great player. It's got to be. And then I'm actually going to go with Ellie De La Cruz from the Cincinnati Reds.
A great thing.
Fantastic player. He always does something incredible, right? Four. I'm gonna go again, no particular order. I'm going with Paul Skeens, amazing pitcher. He's got to get the hell out of Pittsburgh because, maybe he should go to the other side of the state and come join the Phillies.
Would love that. Oh, hell, I would love that.
Yeah, dude, wouldn't that be something? And then last one, oh boy, you know what? I am gonna have to go with, I'm going with what's his name? He's on the Mets. He's the shortstop. I'm drawing a blank.
Lindor?
Lindor? Yeah, Francisco Lindor. Lindor a lot. I wish he wasn't a Met, but he is, and we got to deal with that. So it is what it is. He's a fantastic shortstop. I like the way he plays. I like his moxie. He's pretty humble, and Yeah, so I like what they got going on in New York as much as I don't like him being a Phillies fan. All biases aside, he's a fantastic player. And, yeah, those are my five.
My five, that's a pretty good five. My five, no particular order. I'm going to go Bobby Witt, one. Dom, if it wasn't for the next person on my list, I definitely agree with you with potential AR. And it's not – you can't rule that out still. All Rise, Aaron Judge, number two for me, no particular order. I'm going to go with Ellie De La Cruz. I like that pick. For three, four, Paul Skeens, free him. Definitely come to Eastern, Pennsylvania for sure. Or my other fandom. You can go to the Yankees. I'll be okay with that as well.
James Shane is no, not the Yankees.
And number five. Oh, this is difficult. I'm gonna go up. So my favorite player is Mookie Betts right now. I haven't really watched him too much, but I'm gonna say it's a toss up between J-Rom or Gunnar Henderson. I'm gonna go with Jose Ramirez only because he's Mr. Consistent in Cleveland. You can never go wrong. Switch hitter, smooth swing, great at third base, arguably plays short and anywhere else too. Honorable mention goes to Gunnar Henderson, smooth swinging lefty for Baltimore. You love to see it. But that's my five. Let us know who your fives are. And I don't know, one day we'll get Instagram and YouTube and everything and all that, and we'll interact with everybody. But with that being said, that was the Kickback Podcast here on Apple Pod. Make sure you rate us a 5-star and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that James is now here with us, kicking and rocking with us on the Kickback. Pat will be here when we can get him in here, scheduling conflicts. Dom, Pat's a busy person. A real busy person. Haven't been able to get him in here, but we can't wait. It's going to be fun with all four of us. Get here. With that being said, this is the Kickback Pod. Look, make sure you look out for more. Tell your friends. Rate us a 5-star on Apple Pod. We'll be back next time when we see you. I'm Gavin. That's Dom. That's James. More from us coming soon in the future. Everybody have a good one. Peace and go Thunder.